Let's serve him. Serve him. I will serve him. I'll serve him in the morning. Serve him in the noontime. Serve him. I'll serve him. I'll serve him. Let's praise him. I will praise him. Praise him. Yes, I'll praise him in the morning. I'll praise him in the noontime. Praise him. I'll praise him. I will praise him when the sun goes down. Let's praise him. Praise him. I'll praise him. I will praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. I'll praise him. Yes, I'll praise him. I'll praise him when the sun goes down. Let's love him. Don't you love him? Shake it off. I'll love him. I'll love him. Yes, I'll love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Love him. Oh, just love him. I will love him when the sun goes down. Let's serve him. If God be God, serve him. Serve him. I'll serve him. Yes, I'll serve him in the morning. Serve him in the noontime. Serve him. Yes, I'll serve him. I will serve him when the sun goes down. Praise him. Just praise him. Praise him. I'll praise him. Yes, I'll praise him in the morning. I'll praise him in the noontime. Praise him. Yes, I'll praise him. I will praise him when the sun goes down. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house tonight. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
Song I want to do.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Wonderful. Nothing like a brother getting out the way. I love that. Amen.
Well, it's been a while before I've done this. And I kept asking God, I said, I know you called me to do this.
Oh, yeah.
So why aren't you giving me any songs? And I would get, wait on the Lord. So I quit saying that, and I waited on the Lord. And I was sitting here on the bongos Sunday. It's like somebody whispered in my ear. He says, I want you to sing Close to Thee. I never heard of the song. Of all the years I was in the denominational churches, I cannot ever think of singing this song. Amen. So, you know, I just want to be close to God.
And, yes.
You know, my biggest enemy is myself.
Come on.
You know, I got to fight my will. I got to fight my stubbornness, my rebellion. I just want to surrender and walk over all of that. You know, I just, I feel bad when I can't serve God the way I want. When I keep getting in the way, and, you know, and I don't do what I should do, and I should do more than what I do. So, you know, I don't know. I just want to walk with Him. I want to be close to Him. You know, I've been reading my Bible and praying because Brother Moore says that's how you get close to God.
Yes.
And so, I don't know, I'm going to try to sing this song.
Okay.
So.
Amen. Bless you.
Bless you, Brother Mike. Go ahead, Sister Crystal.
Good evening, body.
Good evening. God bless you, sister.
I am so grateful again to be able to come through those doors. I'm thankful. And I appreciate the word. I'm a believer. I'm a light to so many people. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Again,
my goodness.
Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, And Brother Jay, thank you again.
Amen.
My husband, my dad, Father Saxon, thank you again.
Amen.
Okay. I just don't have too much to say. I'm keeping all of y'all in prayer.
Amen.
Please keep me in prayer.
Yes.
I love each and every one of you. I had
you
the
too.
Opportunity to attend the celebration for the sisters. Sister Elise and all her helpers who helped her. They did a fantastic job.
Amen. Yes.
It just goes to show you and myself, when you're around believers of Jesus Christ,
it's a beautiful thing.
It's all good. Sister Elise says we each are connected.
Right.
And I believe that. I believe that.
Amen.
So much of my heart.
Amen.
I just want to do, just say something to edify you all.
Amen.
And to continue to
yes.
edify me. Because God, I know he loves me and I
he
love
does.
Him.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Riches for a lifetime. It says, come before him with a thankful heart.
Yes, yes.
And the writing of the scripture is so small, but it's from Psalms. And I just want to share that with you all.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Riley, God bless you.
I just want to praise God for everything he's done for me.
Yes.
So for a couple of years, I have struggled bad with anxiety. And probably a week or so ago, I prayed on it, and it's been a week, and I have not experienced any anxiety.
Amen.
Yeah. And the brothers have been talking about using your talents, and God gave me the talent of my voice, so I'm going to use it. I'm going to sing a song.
Amen.
This song, the funny story about this, is at school, when I finished my work, I had nothing else to do, and I remembered that our church has a website. So I went and looked on it, and there was a tab for songs. And the song, it was I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel by Pastor Moore. And I listened to that song like at least 100 times that day. And not a day has gone by that I have not listened to that song. So I'm going to probably sing that with Pastor Moore.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Oh, my. What a treat. What a treat,
man.
On the overhead.
Can we get the words on the overhead?
We're an anchor for those who are homeless. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, because of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed. ashamed of the gospel, for it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted. God knows I'm with. A simple thanks doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who is so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. I've got my eye on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, for I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all He wants me to be. A name, but to me He's my everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not. Oh, of the gospel, for I've got too much behind me to let this world blind me. Just a name, but to me He is everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of this gospel. No, I am not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ.
I love that song. My whole life, that's been my little anthem. I am not ashamed of this gospel.
That's right.
I am not ashamed to represent Jesus Christ to this world, you know?
What he's done.
And you know, you think too much behind me. I've been here since I was born. You know,
amen.
I've got this. I've based my whole life on this. If I don't have this, what do I have? You know, I've got
nothing outside
of this. So, you know, and I was thinking, it's so funny how God works. I came in here and I was a little tired, you know? You got life going on, you get a little tired. I was thinking, I just want to walk around, you know, shake it off. And you said, shake it off. And I was like, well, okay.
Amen.
Walk around. Sometimes it's not you walking around because you're in the spirit. You're walking around to shake that world off, you know. And I just thank God for a place to come and rest.
That's right.
You know, I think it was Brother James said, this is the easiest you got.
Amen.
Out there you fight. Out there you have the world to deal with. In here, you're with your friends. And if I say something that's the truth, you say amen. You know, and I just thank God for that. You know, I thank God. For Riley.
Amen.
It's nice to have someone who bounces the word off you
right.
day to day.
It's a blessing.
I love that song. And it's so funny. She came home from school one day and she was like, listen to this amazing song. And I was like, Riley? That's my song. And I was like, I did not know we had it recorded. And that's been a blessing to us to have that song when we're going through something. I was like, let me just put on a song, you know? And I thank God so much that he puts all those things in your life. You know, the ram in the bush. He does more and more and more. You know, it's not just what I need. He gives me what I want. He gives me so much. I'm overflowing with blessings.
Amen.
So what can I do?
That's right.
Come and
just praising.
God. You know, just I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed
Amen.
To be part of Fairborn Community Tabernacle. I
right.
think it's the
I'm
best
proud.
Church in the entire world because it's my church. You know.
Amen.
Everybody else should say that. Just
goodness.
Like I say, Jeremiah is the best husband in the world. Yeah, other wives should say that about your husband. I mean, that's
Amen.
Cute. You know what? I just thank God, too. Let me just thank God for my husband.
Amen.
Because no
it's
matter what we're going through, he puts the word on it. You know, he doesn't put his feelings or his
Amen.
Emotions. He puts the word on
that's
it.
That's what
and
counts.
When you put the
Only
word on it, everything
good.
Turns out good. And I finally remembered the song is, if you give God, it's no, I forgot it again. Jesus will work it out if you let him.
Amen.
And I have been singing that
let
all week. You know,
God.
Like, Jesus will work it out if you let him. I can't sing, but Jesus will work it out if
Everything.
You let him.
Everything. Amen.
Let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. All your sorrows will vanish. All your nights turn to day. Let go and let God have his way.
Just wanted to share one thing today. This afternoon, my family called me on like a group video message. So I was like, oh, this is new, you know? I'm back in the group, because I got kicked out before. but they let me back in. So my niece, Kahi, she's pregnant, so they're expecting. So I'm going to be a great uncle or something. So she called me a grunk. I don't know if that's even a word, but I'm just so happy because, you know, God, he just blesses in areas you just don't even see him coming. You just cannot figure out this God that we're just scratching the surface on. I mean, it's just to the point where, Lord, this is my life. I'm fully invested. I'm fully persuaded. I don't really want too much else other than this word.
That's right.
I mean, that's real.
Amen.
I want to give whatever I can give. Lord, just take it.
Amen.
Just take whatever you want. I just want to be in your will. I just want to be like Brother Steve would say, I just want to be a part of the conversation. Amen. You don't even got to use me. Just let me be in it. Just say my name. Just talk to me. One more time. Just talk to me just like you did last time. Because this could be my last service. This could be the very last time. We don't even have to go home.
Amen.
Leave it all out there.
Amen.
You know, when you come here expecting, but expect to do something too. You know, expect to give.
Amen.
Because that's all we're here. You just heard the song. We're harbors.
Yes.
We're harbors for these people out here.
Right.
They have no other God but
Amen.
Us. Think about that. Just think about that for a second.
Amen.
You are the most important person, people in the entire world.
God
chose you. Hand selected you from before the ground
that
you're
right.
standing on. That's a big thing. And
Amen.
You know, I take it lightly. I take it for granted what we've been given.
Amen.
We can't even possibly understand and fathom what
Amen.
He's got for us.
Right.
And the only thing that I just feel tonight is just, Lord, just have your way.
Have your
just
way.
Whatever you want. Get me out of the way, Lord.
Amen.
Just have your way with
have
these people.
Way.
Walk these aisles, Lord. Talk to us, Lord, one
Amen.
More time. And that's all I have to share.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
I just want to, first of all, always say I'm thankful to be here because it's always a blessing
Amen.
To get here one more time and to get full word here and just be surrounded by a body of believers. And then I also never want to go without giving God a praise report.
Yes.
Lily had got that prayer cloth. She had got it for her mouth, but she cut off half of it. She gave it to me, and she said it was for my foot that's been hurting, and I had a test. And I had to have a test that proved that I was highly qualified to work with some mental disability kids. And I passed it today. And I was like, I don't want to not give God the glory for it because her childlike faith, she wanted to give that to me. And I was like, why not give it back to God? Because
Amen.
He's the one that did it. And I'm just thankful for that. And I'm thankful
Amen.
To be here. And I was really touched by your testimony, Riley.
Amen.
God really does heal.
Amen.
It's just such a blessing. And I'm just so thankful for it. And I just love that this body gives you real examples to hold on to.
That's right.
And we get full word constantly. Yes. And
Amen.
It's just such a blessing, like Elise said, to have people to bounce off. Like, I can look around everyone here and see just strong believers who want to give to God. And like Brother Isaiah said, that's always my desire, is to get out of the way. I came here today and just did a quick prayer, like I always do. I'm like,
yes.
Lord, if you want to use me, just get me out of the way and use me. And that's always my prayer. And
yes.
I was just thinking, I didn't necessarily have anything to say, but then I was like, I always have something to say because
Amen.
I'm thankful. And it's, if you take
yes.
the word in, the word comes out.
That's right.
And I was just thankful. And I was reading over my notes again from the last service. And I was just, God is his word. And I'm
Amen.
Just glad that we're going to get God today through his word.
Amen. God, I thank him for that word. You know, that word is how God talked to me.
Oh, yeah.
That word
oh,
is
yeah.
how God revealed himself
oh, yes.
to me. That word is how God communicates with me. He communicates through flesh, but he
oh, yeah.
communicates through his word. His word is the most important thing.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, that's why the church world can't get it, is
yeah.
they've got perverted word.
That's right.
And he won't come in on, you change one word.
Yeah.
You put any leaven in it.
Yeah.
But I thank God for that pure word.
Amen.
And that word, it just feeds me. And, you know, that scripture, in the beginning was the word.
Mm.
That scripture has meant so much to me for so long.
Oh,
you know, because that is what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, Johanna, she didn't tell you one little thing there. She didn't tell you that test she took, they told her she got the highest score of anyone they've ever given that test to. So she didn't tell on herself all the way. So I just wanted to add that. But I thank God for this truth. I thank
Amen.
God for this body. And you know, young people, look how you can bless the body.
Oh my goodness.
You know, listen to your pastor when he says, don't just come out here and sit. Do something. Because the people that do something are the people that get blessed. Amen. The people that do something are the people that see the word and move and grow. Right. Ones that don't do something are the ones that stagnate. I've been around a long time and I've seen it. Those who get up, do something. And I'm not just anything. You know, do what God tells you to do. Like Pastor said, at work we had an expression, stay in your lane. That meant do your job.
Right.
Don't do someone else's job. Because you just get in someone else's way when you try to do their job. But find a lane and get in it. Young people, it's your opportunity. Because if you stagnate now, you will stagnate all the way through. So now's the time to press.
Yes.
Now's the time to push.
Yes.
Serve God, as Pastor says, yes, while you're young.
Yes.
And you will be blessed. It is a promise. I can testify to that.
Amen.
I have been blessed beyond. God has done so much for me. Yes. He's just, I can't even express all the things he's done for me. But it's been the word.
Yeah.
I can't say it enough.
Yeah.
The word is the thing we need to get. The
That's
word
right.
is the thing we need to focus on. The word is the revelation. The word is God.
Amen.
You know, we use all kinds of different names for the same thing.
Right.
But that's what he's going to ride in on
oh,
is through
yes.
that word.
Amen.
You know, John, that's so true. I've been thinking about something Jay said in a testimony, talking about instruction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, God changes the term, you know, just to get your attention.
Yeah.
You know? And he was talking about the word. You know, Jeremiah even was talking about the fullness
yes.
of the word being manifested mm-hmm. today. And you know, thinking on instruction, I was an engineer for 32 years for a company called Advanced Drainage Systems, and I seen good engineers and I seen bad ones. Good engineers gave instruction, and they would be on site. If you didn't understand
yes.
the instruction, they'd be right there to help you. If you
That's
made a mistake,
right. yep.
they'd help you figure out how to correct the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was helping Pastor Moore install a grill the other day, just put it together, and the instruction was pretty good, you know. They told you what tools you needed.
Yeah.
It had a bill of material, you know, all the parts,
yep.
and it was A's and numbers and all this stuff. And,
yeah.
you know, we'd look at the picture and kind of look at the diagram. Well, we didn't get that right, and we'd try to flip it around. Oh, yep, it fits right here, you know. But when the fullness of the word is on the scene manifested, you have instruction for anything.
Everything.
Anything in
Amen.
Your life. I don't care what you're going through. And it
Amen.
Will help you get through.
Right.
Amen.
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 And you know, not just instructions, but you got the help. You got a whole body.
Amen.
Whole body of believers ready to back you up, you know? I take it from me. I lean on everybody in here, you know? And you know, I can't give enough. I can't give enough to this body because this body has done everything. This body has helped me raise my kids. This body has helped me get my head, you know, out of the sand. This word has given me confidence to,
yeah.
you know, be right here in front of y'all. You guys been in this message for years. What do I know? You know, but it's a revelation
Amen.
That you can't overemphasize a revelation.
Amen.
Let me just get these announcements out of the way here. And we got Jay and Jeremiah going to Elkton on the 8th and 9th. And then we got the church camping trip. The signups are in the back and everything. And just more to come. No song practice for tomorrow. All right. Let's sing 139 in the Only Believe He Abides, and then we'll get him up. Thank you for the testimonies.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. Yes, he abides. this narrow way. For the comforter abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard about how I died upon that tree. Then I fell down at his feet, then I came a peace so sweet, and now the comforter in me. One more time, hallelujah. Yes, he abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. Comforter abides in me. I want to sing one more. And hopefully I'll mess it up, but I like it. Riley gave me confidence. The song's called Worth It. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life. So I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. I'm singing hallelujah. Yes, glory to the God above. I'm singing hallelujah. 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 One more time. I'm singing hallelujah. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come together amongst believers, worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I know there's prayer requests out there. Lord, thank you for the praise report to let us to keep and continue building our faith. That when we come and talk to you, Lord, we're not talking in vain. And we know your word never goes out void. Lord, bless those prayer requests, spoken and unspoken tonight. Lord, help the hearer and the speaker get out of the way so that we can receive this word for the hour. Lord, help us just set aside a few moments where we can enjoy you without any distractions of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Appreciate it, the testimonies. Really, 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 really appreciate that song. I love that. I've always liked that song, and then sounds even better when Riley sings it. We used to have that stuff where we'd say, have like a song, and somebody would sing it, and be like, well, that's such and such a song, that's such and such a song. And up until tonight, that was Passion Moore's song. Now that's Riley's song now. Like, that's how I'm going to remember it, so really appreciate that, getting out of the way and doing that. You know, and I think about even every time the young people give a testimony or do something, I think, man, that's so hard. Amen. Like, I'm going to say this, but like, I mean it with all due respect. We're old. And you had your life to live, and you made your mistakes, and you look back, and life wasn't as hard as it is now. Like, when you made a mistake, then nobody recorded it. Nobody took it down. It wasn't going to follow you for the rest of your life. You just lived in a different era. And now they're bombarded with things all the time. Like, I was getting my hair cut, and the guy said, you remember the house phone? And it's like, yeah, I do remember the house phone. And you younger guys don't remember the house phone, but it was only one inlet of communication to the house. Like, that was it. That was the only way somebody was going to get a hold of you, and your parents would answer it, and then they would maybe screen the call and all that kind of stuff. But now, you know, there's all these inlets. Amen. What I'm getting at, it's just harder. And for them to come in here and just push up, push against that. Oh, you can't tell me nothing. God is too real. I mean, that's an example that I see it. And that, you know, we go through stuff and we got good days, bad days, all that kind of stuff. That's just life. I don't like to give too much credit for that. But to see those young people come in here and push up and push, it's like, come on now. You've been in this thing too long to be discouraged by the bad day when they went through what they go through and can still push up. Because to you, like I said, we're old. Nobody cares when you put your arms up. I expect you to. I expect you to clap. I expect you to bring your Bible. You drove yourself here. Those are expectations. But when you see the young people push through, they got to push through their own insecurities, their friends' insecurities. They still care what other people think. Like I said, when you're old, you don't care what nobody thinks. You put on a shirt, and it's like, this is the only shirt I got. I don't care what you think. Amen. They put on a shirt, and it's like, well, does my friend like this shirt? Does this person like this shirt? Has I wore this shirt before? Have they seen me in this outfit? I'm just telling you stuff. I got kids. This is facts. And you come in here and praise God. Ah, just give me a moment, you know? I feel like that brother said, just hold my mule for a little bit. Because when I see somebody starting off like that, I've seen how that movie goes. I know what that's going to take you through. I know it's going to get you through some things. Oh, I know it's good, because what I'm seeing is you're getting strong. I'm seeing that you recognize that God is in flesh. And when you start to be able to recognize that at a young age, oh, that eliminates even the opportunity for problems. Because now you've got something to put on Satan that you wouldn't have had before. You know, you talk about what did Jesus do when Satan approached him? He refused him three times. But with the word, because he knew it. But when you're young and you don't have a word and you don't know it, what are you putting on Satan? Your own ideas, your own thoughts. But if you recognize the word at a young age, you know what you've done? You literally chop Satan off at the feet. Amen. The best he can get is 4 feet up. The best he can do is to try to make you doubt what it was before then. But you've got years of just winning battle after battle after battle. That's why even when I saw Luke and Levi get baptized together, oh my. Just give me a minute. But I see that and I go, because they didn't know each other were getting baptized, right? But what that's going to do is whenever, let's say, Levi's struggling, Luke could come in and say, nah, I was with you. I was with you. I was there when you gave your heart to God. I was there when you had the inward work going on. And let's say Luke's having a struggle. Levi can come over and say, no, buddy. I was there. Nobody can take it away from me. I was there. When God spoke to you, he spoke to me. That same God is still real. Oh, now you got help. You got help now. So when you're struggling with something, they got the word they can go back to. Oh, I've got friends that I can go back to, experiences where we challenge and battle through things. That's great. But that can change with emotions. That can change with the emotions. However they tell the story is how they want to tell it. But when we went and got baptized together, that was an inward work that only you experienced and I experienced. We know exactly what it was. So when I see that, I'm like, woo, that's recognizing God in the fullness. Don't worry, Satan, I'm getting to it. I'll preach, but I get a chance to testify. Brother Isaiah got up a little early, so I'm like, I got to take my time. You know, I rush too much anyway, so it's good to take my time. But when I see the young people doing that, you can't tell me nothing. I'll run to a bus hall to take you out of here if you say something about that. I'm dead serious. I'm like, to know what they got to go through, you know what I mean? So, and we see it. I mean, as parents, you see it. When you're growing up in this stuff, you see it. It's just the world's crazy. And it's easy to be pushed through because that song, even, I'm not ashamed. Right, Pastor Moore? I mean, it says, I've been ridiculed by those that don't know him. If they knew what I knew, they wouldn't ridicule me. But they don't know him. I've been mocked by those who don't believe. Oh, that's us. That's this group. I've been ridiculed by those that don't know him. I've been mocked by those that don't believe. I'll say, God said. And they go, what God? When's he showing up? He's always late. I'm like, he's always on time. He's always on time. Oh, what about this? It's like, no, I know he's real. Well, how do you know he's real? I know he's real. He's showing me this. He's showing me that. And they try to doubt it, put it this, that way. And I'm like, that's all right. You just don't believe. That's okay. Just get out of my way, though. I believe. Why are you trying to bother me? Leave me alone. Oh, anyway, so that's my two cents. Happy to hear it. Them sing the song. I'm ready to get into some preaching because God has been too good to this group. So I'm going to go ahead and pull up my notes here. I tried to make it easy on here, this thing, but it started messing up. And I went to Pastor Morris, has a back. He always has paper. And I was like, okay, got it here. I'm going to have it on here. One of these things start messing up, I'll switch right to the next one. I'll just turn it over to Pastor Moore. I don't have no qualms about that. I used to let Satan battle me with that stuff. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I don't care. It ain't my church. I stop. I just, why? Because I know how leadership works. When you get to the end of your rope, you go back and say, hey, he's obligated. I know God's going to feed us and he's going to use me. But if I feel that he stopped, I'm not going to start repeating myself. You're not supposed to talk about Sunday night. Sunday night, that is what happened. I was like, well, I'm done. So come on up. This is your house. But that's proof. I didn't even remember that. But yeah, you remember. Yeah, just got done driving hours and hours. And I was like, you can have it. But that's how, I mean, we've been taught that. We've been taught here. We know too much to have to beat around the bush here. And there's too many people that are blessed to try to hog all the time. I don't need to hog all the time. God bless you, Brother Eric. Good to see you. Yeah, if Brother Eric would have wanted to preach, he could have it.
At any moment. We don't have anything like that here. You come here. We're all here for one reason. Hear the word of God. That's the whole reason why we're here. I didn't come here for one agenda. My wife doesn't see, you know, some places that the preacher one time, he said he had practiced for months on something. I don't get months to practice on something. Because by the time it's my turn to come up here, y'all could be light years past what I was thinking about practicing. Like, I don't have a chance to practice something. I ain't got time. We ain't got time. You get a thought. Pastor Moore gets a thought. Brother Jeremiah puts a thought out there. That's it. That's by Sunday, I don't know if this thought's going to even be applicable. I mean, it'll. But that's what does the Bible say about that, brother? It says, give us our daily bread. It don't give me my annual bread, my quarterly bread, my monthly bread. Give me my daily bread. Give me my fresh bread for today. I need Wednesday bread. That's what I need. Sunday was great. Sunday night was amazing. But I had to get through Monday and Tuesday, and now I need Wednesday bread. That's what I need tonight. So I praise God for that. So tonight, the title of my message, because I've been messing it up the last two times, is The Fullness. And if he changes it, he'll change it. And that'll be the new title. But tonight, what I'm thinking is the fullness. So let's go ahead and get in here. So Brother Jeremiah and Pastor Moore preached Sunday. Appreciated them. Pastor Moore did preach. He preached. He did. And I appreciate our leadership. We've got the best. And I really love what God does for us and just blesses us beyond. So I got a couple of scriptures I wanted to read because we're talking about the fullness. And you can only have the fullness at certain times. The fullness was not always available. Amen. So let's be clear on that. Like, as we go through and look through stories and just look through, even when we look through the church ages, you know, that's just a space of time, but that's not from Genesis, but that's just a space of time. But the fullness was not always available. So let's make sure we understand that the fullness was not always available.
Right.
So let's read these scriptures with that in mind. So I'm going to read over it. First one I'm going to read is Luke 17 and 22. Very familiar scriptures. We've read these a lot, but just to bring them in for context. So Luke 17 and 22, it says, and he said unto the disciples, now it's a red letter. It says, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Okay. So, he's talking about the Son of Man here. The Son of Man is the fullness. Amen. When you have the Son of Man ministry, that is the fullness. Amen. And in that scripture, he says, you're going to long for one of the days that you're going to see the Son of Man, meaning it would be absent. Okay? Amen. So, just throwing that in there, just for context. Now, let's go over here to another scripture, and then we'll get started in here. Because when I saw that, I thought, oh, okay, that's good to know. But then let's go over to Matthew 24. Like I said, these are very familiar scriptures. Matthew 24, 36 through 38. And we'll read that. So it says, now when you talk about when you're going to see the Son of Man, you know, Brother Jeremiah was talking about different signs of the time. There should be some signs. Like if it's going to rain, certain things happen. We even talked about how cattle, they'll do different things. The leaves, they turn in trees. Like a lot of things happen to show that rain is coming. And there should be signs to point you in the right direction that the fullness is coming.
That's right.
There should be signs because there's two fullnesses that we're talking about. There's two times that there was fullness. Amen. There was Jesus' day and then the unknown for the rest of the world, but it's now for us. Now, when I say the rest of the world, the unbelievers don't know when the second time is coming. They don't even know really the first time when you think about it. But there's two times that the Son of Man ministry is in its fullness. Amen. And it says over here in Matthew 24, verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour, no man knoweth. See, it's like you can't predict the time, but there should be some signs there. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving unto marriage until the day of Noah, until they entered the ark. So these two scriptures saying, hey, you're going to long for one of the days. Over in Matthew, it says, there's going to be some signs, and it even talks about some different signs in another scripture over in Matthew. Talks about how there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and these will just be the beginnings of the end. They would be the beginning of sorrows. So once those things happen, this now the Son of Man ministry should start showing up on the scene. What more example have we seen than this hour right now of wars, rumors of wars, destruction, all this stuff going on? That's the beginning of the end. And right before the end time, there needs to be a fullness. That's the time that the Son of Man is supposed to show up. Amen. So I'm not even, in this argument, I'm not even saying that we're the Son of Man yet. I'll get to that in this part of the scripture. I mean, in his service. But if you were just looking at the Bible, somebody should be talking about the end time. Amen. Somebody should be pointing to the end time. There should be preachers and ministers out there that act as meteorologists that go, hey, we're close to the end because this and this is happening. And there should be a group on the scene that has the full word of God that nothing is hidden from. Amen. There should be, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to do something when it shows up. It's supposed to quicken the word. Amen. And the word, if you don't have all the word, it can only quicken in part. Right. What you have. But if you have the full word, it can quicken the full word of God, and that is what makes it the fullness. Amen. So hopefully you guys are following me on that, because when I look at it, I go, okay, so you know that the full word has to be on the scene for the Holy Spirit to come in and quicken that word. That has to happen. Amen. So we all agree that the full word has been revealed at this time. Yes. So if the full word is on the scene, then the Holy Spirit only has one job, is to quicken that word. That's his only job, is to quicken it. So if the full word is on the scene, the Holy Spirit is on the scene quickening that full word, and you're able to recognize it, you're one of them. That's it. That's it. The fact that you can see what God is doing means that there's God in you. Because if you couldn't see it, if you were blind to that fact, that would prove that there's no God in you. Matter of fact, Jesus even said it. He said, why do you not hear my words? Amen. That's the Son of Man on the scene. Why can't you pick up what I'm saying? Right. Why can't you why does it not resonate with you? Amen. Why don't you believe what I'm saying? Right. That's what Jesus had to say to that group. That's what we have to say to this group. Right. Why can't you hear my speech? Why can't you hear my words? Oh, it's because I have no part of you. You are of your father, the devil. Amen. What part? Part means that life. I have no life in you. Amen. Because God can't recognize, God can't reject God. Amen. He can only accept.
That's it.
Oh, my. Let's read a quote here. Amen. Now, in this quote, this is Brother Branham, and Christ is the mystery. And it's Christ the mystery of God revealed. I'm going to read this quote here. And I got like three quotes for you guys today. And I was just seeing them, and you'll like them. Anyway, let's read. Because I was looking at all these different things, and I thought, man, some of these quotes, I love to hear them. You know, how Brother Branham says certain things. It's just nice how he puts it together. He said, because, you know, when we talk about us being fullness and having this, you would think our message would unite the world. You would think. Because even all throughout time, they've looked for a Savior. Throughout time, they've looked for that sacrifice. They knew, man knew he needed a sacrifice. So he was constantly looking for it. Constantly looking for it. Even the Jews, for thousands of years, they were looking for Jesus. It had been prophesied that he was going to show up. What was going to happen? Then when he shows up on the scene, they reject him. So there's history that the world always rejects it, but you would think when we talk about it that why wouldn't anybody just want this? Why would they reject this? But it's been that way. This message is meant to bring people together in the statement that we say it, because it's just grace and truth is all we have. And it seems like why wouldn't anybody want that? But they don't. So anyway, so over here in 1963, Brother Branham, he says, you want to unite together and one believes in something in the other. Methodists take sprinkling and the Baptists take immersion, and both of them denying the Holy Ghost and its fullness of the power. They said, we received the Holy Ghost when we believed. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That there is the difference, see? You've got to receive it since you believe, because you've got to get the word to have something to believe in. See, they get the cart before the horse. They say, I believe God. And you say, but you don't know who God is. Amen. Oh, I trust God, but you don't know what God wants you to do. I trust God to guide my life, but he ain't talking to you. You got to get the word first, and that's what God rides in on, and now you have something to stand on. Amen. See, because a lot of these people get this thing wrong. They think, oh, I believe God, but where is God? Amen. There's got to be a manifestation in this hour. There's been clear instructions, Brother Doug, that God is on the scene now. When it's the fullness, there is no room for error. Right. You know, they talk about building that grill. If there's a picture of what it's supposed to be and what you're supposed to put together, there's no room for error. It needs to look like this, and that screw needs to go here. That's why I even like some of my kids' toys. They would put like a tool that you needed to use, a little Allen wrench that you could use. It's like, I don't want you grabbing anything else because you'll strip the screw. I want you to use what I gave you, and it goes to this right here, and turn it just right here. It gives you strict instructions, because that's the only way it's going to work. In this hour right now, you don't have any room for error. You can't afford to have your own thought now. And people go, oh, I want to think this, I want to think that. You can't afford to go your own way now. It's the end now. When it was sprinkled, he was sitting in the intercessory. He was in that mediator seat, sitting there guarding for your errors, protecting against what you did wrong. He's no longer sitting there now. He's down here with the book, the instructions, fully open, saying, this is what you need to do. Amen. Son of Man's on the scene now. And if you can't hear it, I've got to say, like Jesus said, why can't you hear my words? It's because it has no part of you. But thank God we have a part of it. Because the fullness of God is here right now. Now, we would believe, you know, we can agree that Jesus was the fullness, right? Okay. So, if we believe that Jesus is the fullness, and Brother Bram says, now we know that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus Christ. How many believes that? He says, yeah. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, all of the spirit that was in him, and this is where we get that quote from the spoon, would be like this lake out there, all that water, say all the water in the world. But now if you just have a spoonful of that water, that's the spirit that we have in us. Amen. The same chemicals that make up that is what we have in us. We have the fullness. Amen. We are little messiahs now, being able to do what we need to do. Now he goes over in another scripture, or another quote, like in 1960 or something, he talks about how greater works will we do because it's more of us. He said this greater works will we do because it's more of us. In Jesus' day, it was just Jesus. Jesus was the only person with the fullness. Jesus was the only one that had the full revelation of who he was. Nobody else had it. Matter of fact, when somebody could recognize who Jesus was, he said, my Father must have had to reveal this to you. He had to do it because flesh and blood couldn't reveal this to you. My Father in heaven had to reveal this to you. So just recognizing who Jesus was entitled you to that revelation. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, he said, I'll build my church on this rock of revelation. Amen. That's what he built his church on, the understanding of who he was. That's great to get there, but that's only half the story. That's the first coming of the Son of Man. This is the second coming of the Son of Man. It's great to recognize who Jesus was, but you need to know who you are. You are the Son of Man in flesh right now. Amen. Oh, my. See, that now it has to get real because there's a lot of false light out there. You know, even Brother Branham was talking about the story about, he talked about this in like 1964 when he was talking about the story of the great train heist. Some of you older message believers, y'all read that story, but he was talking about a great train heist and happened in 1963 over in London. Basically, what happened was these guys, they knew that the trains would slow down or stop based off of the flashing of the light. And so this train was holding like $7 million at the time, equivalent to $76 million now. They got some lights and flashed it to make the train stop. False lights. It made that train stop for 15 minutes. They took all the money away. Not even a violent crime at all. Got away one of the biggest cash heists ever. Bunch of small bills. Fake light. Stop that train. It's a lot of fake light out here right now. It's a lot of fake light out here. It's got a lot of people out here saying, I know who God is. I've talked to God. I've done this. But they're not pointing you in the right direction. When you get this thing, it should take of mine and show it unto you. Yeah. It should be spirit and truth. Yeah. It should be grace and truth that we present. There's a lot of churches that just want a lot of truth. That want law, legalism, browbeat you. That's a lot of truth. That's true to it. Then there's a lot of churches that just want greasy grace. Let you do what you want to do. Dress how you want to dress. Live how you want to live. That's greasy grace. So we got two extremes here. But Jesus said, I come in grace and truth. He said, the law killeth, but I come in grace and truth. Moses had the law, but there's got to be a progression here. Oh, my. You got to have them both. That's what keeps the balance. That's what keeps the balance. Because, you know, you even talk about what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist would have stoned that lady. And he would have been right to do it. That was the law for the day. So it wouldn't have been bad for him to do it. That would have been his right. But what did Jesus do? Grace. Go and sin no more. And now we just get so caught up out here in this world of false light, getting you distracted. Let's stay focused on the fullness and the fact that you have it. That's what you should be able to rejoice in, is that you have this understanding. You have a blessed assurance that Jesus is yours. Amen. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people hear the words that we're preaching and saying, God's in you. I don't know if I can believe it. What's the alternative? What do you get as the inverse? God's not with you?
Right.
You know, we had that, somebody asked that question. They said, you know, Pastor Moore was talking to somebody, and he said, where do you want your father to be? Where do you want him? You place him where you want him to be. When he passes over, where do you want him to be? Well, they had a hard time struggling. He couldn't forgive him in death.
Right.
Hey, do you understand that? Couldn't even forgive him in death. That's rough. That's hard. But there's a group of people that have that. You're blessed not to have that. Like that's and the reason why I use John the Baptist, because at that time that was right. There's a furtherance of light that along the way, yes, you wouldn't be able to know what was going to happen with your loved ones. Yes. Before the light got turned on, you didn't know what was going to happen. That was an okay thought at the time. But now we have full light.
Amen.
Now I have full understanding. Amen. Now I can see the full plan of God.
Amen.
I know where foolish devotion goes. I know where, I even understand eternity better.
Amen.
I understand that if you were a part of God, you're always been a part of God.
Yeah.
That means you've never been lost. Because a lot of times we look at foolish devotion and go, oh, they're lost. They're not lost.
No, they're not.
They're staying in their lane, doing their job. Because a lot of times I remember even Brother Childers, because sometimes people want to bring different people to church. He said, you can't bring everybody. Some people ain't called to come to church.
Come on.
You'll kill them.
Right.
You'll kill them. Because what we got to do is different than what some other people got to do. The load we got to carry is different than what some people can handle. And I thank God he's given us the strength to do it.
Right.
It's not hard for us. The yoke is easy for us. His burden is light for us. We've been built to handle this.
Amen.
But guess what? Some of our loved ones we got to carry.
That's right.
You go, well, where you get that from? Brother Branham said, I get a prophet's reward.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said, all that I loved and all that loved me.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said, he's taking chairs and horses.
Right.
And you want me to leave my dad behind?
Right.
Come on now. Make it make sense then.
Amen.
Tell me how it runs then. Tell me how it runs when he says he's going to take his horse and I can't take somebody that raised me for 15, 17, 18 years. Fed me, clothed me, housed me, comforted me, took care of me, protected me. Come on now. You got to make it make sense. Because if you're following the prophet, he said that also. It's got to be a furtherance of the light. It's got to continue to keep going. Or you stopped and you denominated. And that's what happens through the ages. They stop. And they denominated. And matter of fact, even the prophet said that had they lived long enough, what would they have done? They would have followed the light. Irenaeus would be here in the fullness. Paul would be here in the fullness. Martin would be here in the fullness. Luther would be here in the fullness. Wesley would be here in the fullness. They would have stayed with the light. Oh, well, where else you see that, Brother Jay? All the people that came out and went to the promised land, guess what they did? Stayed with the light. They stayed with the light. When God said put blood over the door, they did put blood over the door. When God said walk across the Red Sea, they walked across the Red Sea. When God said let's walk in circles for 40 years, they walked in circles for 40 years. When God said let's cross over to Cades Barnea, they crossed over to Cades Barnea. Those were the people that followed the light.
Amen.
That wholly followed the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what can we say about the others that didn't? Nothing. Not too much is written about them. Died in the wilderness. But there was a group that recognized God's blessing all along the way. There was a group that did appreciate the fullness, that looked down and saw that their shoes didn't wear down, saw that God fed them every day, saw that manna came from heaven every day, and they rejoiced in it.
Amen.
They praised God in it. That's what helped them get through. Other people look at it and go, I ain't got another pair of shoes in 4 years. Or these shoes ain't worn out in 4 years. Difference? I think sometimes we got to shake ourselves, like Elise said. Shake yourselves and look around at how much God's been blessing you.
Amen.
You've been blessed beyond. God's giving you everything. He's giving you more than you even need to get the job done. You got more than you asked for. You got more than you need to get the job done. You got more than you need. You've got elders. You've got leaders. You've got friends. You've got, I don't want to hear it. The list goes on. You're a spoiled child. You know, this bank account's so big, you can't count the numbers. There's too many commas in this thing. Wait, because when, like Brother Doug said, any problem that you're facing, God has an answer for it. That he's blessed us in the body to handle. Well, Brother Jay, you don't know about my depression. Yeah, I do. I do know. I can talk about my own, but I can go to a story that's been told. Brother Jeremiah said, when he was 16, he was dealing with that. And Brother Jeremiah don't look depressed tonight. Looks like he conquered that demon. So if you need help handling that, I can show you a road warrior that's been whooping Satan in that for a long time. Oh, Brother Jay, you don't know about my anxiety. Oh, yeah, I do. Sister Riley says she's been whooping that devil for a long time. So if you're battling with it, I can show you somebody that's been whooping that thing for a little while now. Oh, Brother Jay, women can't do this, can't do that. Oh, yeah, yeah, they do. Johanna just took a test and got the highest score anybody's ever got as a woman. Don't tell me you're allowed to be dumb in here. Don't tell me you're allowed to be lazy in here. Because see, what happens is in here, sometimes people get caught up thinking, oh, I don't got to do nothing. Yes, you do. You've got a job to do. We've got to push this message forward. We got people looking at us for examples. We out here claiming that we got the best. You should be the best then. You should look like the best. You should act like the best. You should sound like the best. We shouldn't be defeated in this thing. The more we talk about the Word of God, it should encourage us. It should strengthen us. It should motivate us. Because we do have the best. Oh, my goodness. Even in a natural. I mean, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but in a natural, if somebody had access to the best trainers, the best food, the best nutrition, and they didn't look like it, you'd be like, well, maybe they don't have the best. Maybe that nutrition don't know what they should eat. Maybe the gym that they're supposed to go to ain't the best. It ain't that good. That's what you would think. So when we run around saying we got the best leadership and you running around like a knucklehead, well, you ain't eating off the right tree. Oh, running around, we talking here, we got the best workers and you constantly thinking about unemployment. I'm just telling you. Oh, we got the best leadership for your kids and your kids don't listen to you. They don't respect anything you say. They don't believe what you're going to do. They don't mind you at all. I'm just telling you facts. When I say we got the fullness, it has no room for interpretation. God gives his word and brings it to pass, and you get the answers on everything.
Amen.
That's what the fullness brings. Now, it gives you a full understanding on the revelation of God in every aspect of your life. You can look back and see God in all your life. Oh, my. God has been blessing us. Over in 1 John, let's read this. Let's read over in 1 John. I love what God does for us. There's not a time that he hasn't blessed us. You know, sometimes people sing that song, he hasn't failed me yet. He won't ever fail me. Yeah, I don't like it. He won't ever fail me. Let's see, is 1 John, am I doing it wrong here? I'm trying it out, a new system, and it's kicking me every time. I might have to just quote it. Yeah, we know it. It was talking about how Jesus is grace and truth, and I was saying that, you know, a lot of people, they don't want this truth, but we have grace and truth. And when we talk about those examples that you're supposed to be, we have help to help you along the way to do that. Like you have the best possible leadership to give you help in even making this revelation make sense in your life. Because you may say, well, I can't explain it. You don't got to be able to explain it. Do you believe it? Well, I don't want to just be following anybody. Well, you're following God. But you got to follow somebody. Because it says, how can you hear except it be preached? And how can it be preached unless he's sent? There's a leadership here. There's an order here. There's a way that things are supposed to be done. And if God sends you a preacher, then listen to him. Take his word as the gospel and follow him. That's why even, you know, sometimes people get it misconstrued when we say, well, if you don't listen to us, you don't got it. That's not the case. We say, if you can't listen to us, find you a man. Find you somebody that's bringing it word upon word, precept upon precept, and follow that. Because sometimes there are going to be different things. Like you might live somewhere else. You might do this. This ain't the only church. This ain't the only church to go to. If you're somewhere and you can go to church, go to church.
Amen.
Enjoy God for where you're at.
Amen.
I'm just blessed where I'm at.
Amen.
I don't even have a desire. I don't have a taste for anything else. I get the best food, I get the best teaching, I get the best preaching, and that's, I'm like Sister Elise said, everybody should be bragging about their husband like that. If you go to another church and you're listening in, this is how you should talk about your church. I got the best pastor, I got the best leadership, I got the best ministry, I got the best brothers and sisters, I got the best. I thank God there's another church like it so somebody else can get blessed like I'm blessed. Because all these blessings, I know somebody got to have some more. God didn't bottle himself up into this one person, one place. He's never done it like that.
That's
No two leaves are the same. No two snowflakes are the same. No two trees are the same. So no two churches are the same. I wouldn't expect. I'd be concerned if I walked in there and you tried to look like our church. I say you're mocking. You're Paul Parrott. Change it up a little bit. It shouldn't look like this. You shouldn't even want it to look like this. If you go in and the pews even look like this, I'd want to change how we're sitting. I'm just telling you because God don't want things duplicated. Because that's what happens when denominations happen. They start duplicating. They start manufacturing. You heard Tom Ford, not Tom Ford, but Henry Ford, when he was mass producing those cars. Okay, if this part and this part go together, we'll just make 1,000 of these parts and 1,000 of this, and they just alike. And everybody's car will look just alike. All black, one color. Gave you tons of choices, but one color. As long as it's black. That's what he said. You can have any color you want as long as it's black. That was their marketing thing. But that's what I think churches try to do to Christians. You can be anything you want as long as you look like Brother Branham. You can wear anything you want as long as it drags the floor. You can cut your hair any way you want as long as it doesn't touch your ears. I'm just telling you how they try to put you in a little box. There should be something on the inside. There should be something on the inside. You don't got to tape apples to an apple seed. It should be something on the inside that grows and makes it go what it needs to do. There should be something on the inside that lets it do what it needs. When you get into that right environment, it will produce what it needs to produce. And if it's life in there, guess what it will produce? Life. That's going to be the evidence that life is in there, is that it will produce life. Oh, my. That's why I love what we have. It produces life. You give to this thing, it gives you life. You give to God, he gives you life. Oh, that's why I even love that song. He said, you thought I was worth saving. Yeah. He cleaned me up inside. Yeah. I didn't even know. He did it better than I thought it would be. Yeah. I have a vision of what I would want to be. I'd have a vision of what I'd like to do. I'd have a vision of how I could serve God better. But God showed me. He cleans it up, changes this, moves that around, changes that. Right. I look back and I go, I don't even know how I would have done it without God. Amen. I couldn't have done it without God. And it makes me grateful. Amen. Because that gives me another example, another vindication that God is moving in my life. Amen. And that's something else I can stand on. Mm. See, we're anointed. We are anointed, brothers and sisters. We are anointed. We are anointed. We are anointed. When I think about all the stuff God gives us, come on now. You know, I was thinking of something, and this statement came to me. And Pastor Moore, when you get up, you clean it up if I mess it up. I got enough confidence in that, and if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. But I thought about this. I said, you know, when I think about Jesus, his blood is what made him the sacrifice. Right? We're still okay, good. His blood has made him a sacrifice. But that word is what made him God. That revelation of who he was is what made him God. The blood had to be sacrificed. We needed the blood. We needed the shedding of blood to fulfill the scripture. But Jesus' understanding is what made him God. The word in him. Because Jesus as a man had to die. So that blood had to do a certain job for a certain period of time. That didn't stay around. Right? That blood was sprinkled. It was covering our sins. And so to speak, that blood dried up. That blood dried up. But that word never went away. That revelation, we're still eating on that every single day. And matter of fact, even in the Bible, it talked about how Jesus told him, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That's what made me think of it. I thought, and they looked at him and said, is he a vampire? He wants us to cut his flesh and drink his actual blood? No. Stop being so carnal. He said, unless you drink of this blood of revelation, so this word of God, unless this word comes inside of you, because when you eat, you got to take it in. Unless you get this word inside of you, you will not have any life. But if you have this word, you will have eternal life. Amen. Oh, my. Mm. I love what God does for us. I got one more quote, and I'm going to get out of your way. Let's see here. Get this here. Like I said, a couple quotes here. This is Brother Branham in 1961, the Messiah. He says, no wonder Elijah laid his body upon that dead baby and it come to life. It was God in that man. God had took over. He was anointed. Jesus said he was. Every prophet of God in the Old Testament was anointed with the Holy Ghost. They were. Then there were lesser lights, and he was the fullness of God being a Messiah. They were messiahs then, smaller messiahs, for they were anointed with the same spirit that he was anointed with, only he had it in the fullness. Oh. So, let's read that one more time. I want to make sure, because I'm about to go into the point. He says, he was anointed. Jesus said he was. Every prophet of God in the Old Testament was anointed with the Holy Ghost. They were. Then they were lesser lights. He was the fullness of God, being a Messiah. They was messiahs then, smaller messiahs. For they were anointed with the same spirit that he was anointed with, only he had it in the fullness. So when I look at that, I go, Elijah and all the things he did. Great, great man. Moses, great, great man. Any of those prophets of that day, great, great people. They were little messiahs. They had the same spirit Jesus had, only he had it in the fullness. I can look at that same thing now and go, Moses, you did a good job. Martin, you did a good job. Columba, you did a good job. Luther, you did a good job. Wesley, you did a good job. They had it. They were little messiahs. Same spirit that he had, only we have it in the fullness. We've got the fullness now. There should be nothing that stands in our way. Matter of fact, death doesn't, we don't fear death because they know it doesn't stop us. Amen. There's a group of people that fear death thinking it was going to stop God's plan. Death, where is thy sting? Yeah. It doesn't affect us like it used to now. We're not afraid of it now. We know that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, what did Jesus say? I'll raise up another one. But I can even go even further and say, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I've got another one waiting on me. I'm not going to have to wait 3 days. I'm not going to have to wait. It's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. What is that, Brother Jay? That's more fullness on display, letting you know the full plan of God, letting you see the whole picture. Now, when you can see the whole picture, it should brighten things up a little bit. This world, even no matter how dark it gets and the political landscape it gets, nobody knowing who's a man or a woman, all these crazy things happening out there, you can come into a place with sane believers, like-minded individuals that say, I know God is real and nobody looks at you crazy. I know God saves and nobody looks at you crazy. You can come here and say, God has done it all and nobody looks at you crazy. That's a blessing. To be able to come to a place where you can just let all that go and just for a couple minutes praise God with no controversy. Thank you, Lord, for this place. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us a sanctuary where we can worship you in spirit and in truth. I want him in both. I don't want just a whole, I just don't want a bunch of spirit dancing. And I don't want just the truth either. I want spirit and in truth. I want them both. I want to feel good and get lifted up. I want God to talk to me and let me know where I can do better. I want God to correct me and tell me I'm still doing a good job. I want God to let me know that I can step up on this side, but when it comes to heaven, my ticket's already been paid for. I want God to let me know, hey, son, you can be a little bit more dedicated. You can do this and do that. But as far as going to heaven, that's already taken care of. That's balance. Because if I thought that I had to clean this up to make it, I could never do it. I couldn't. There's no. That's what the law showed you. That's what the law showed you. It showed you that you couldn't do it. Amen. That you couldn't do it. That outside of a sacrifice, outside of that blood, you were all lost. Amen. But what transforms you from death into life? What wipes away all those sins? Nothing but the blood. Amen. I praise God for the fullness. I praise God for an understanding. I praise God for you guys. God bless you. Pastor Moore.
I need to hit you.
The fullness is amazing to me. And Jay, you open up a big can of worms when you try to bring in on the fullness. Because when you're talking about the fullness, you're talking about everything that God has. Now, when Jesus was here, he was the fullness. They didn't pull nothing on him that he didn't know. He had answers to everything. At 12 years old, he went in the temple and just, he confounded them. I'm talking doctors, divinities, people who should have been able to set him down and put him in his place. But because Jesus was the Word. Now, he hadn't gone in totally into his ministry, but even before he got into his full ministry, he confounded them. They didn't know what to do with him. And that was Jesus in the fullness. And I like the way Brother Branham said it. He says, greater works means more. And not because we have more than what Jesus had, because we don't. But what makes it greater works is that now the fullness that's here is in a many-membered body. Jesus is not the only one who knows the answers now. I mean, we sit here, we can talk about anywhere in that Bible. Every service, we go from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation, time after time. Preach on anything, talk about anything, hit anything, go anywhere. That's like Jesus was. They'd approach Jesus and say, whose coin is that? I was reading that the other day. Whose coin is that? And Jesus is not dumb. He knew what they were after. He knew however he answered that was going to determine how they approached him. So whose inscription is on that? It's Caesar's. He said, then give it to Caesar. Render under Caesar's, that is the Caesar's. And render unto God, that which is God's. That was the only answer. That was the only right answer. And here he was standing there. And it's the same thing we get all the time. Because the fullness is on the scene, there's not a question that you can come up with that there's not an answer. There's not a thing that anybody can approach you with that you don't have an answer for. That's because the fullness that was in that one man is now in a many-member body. And if you don't realize it, when people approach you and you don't really know the answer, I mean, you're not sitting there trying to figure out what the answer is going to be. They'll spit something out. These Sadducees and Pharisees approach you with their inscriptions and with their little church denominational traditions and all this stuff. And they try to throw it at you. And you turn around and put the word on them. It is written. It is written. It is written. Because it's the word that's in you. We're sitting here with a clear, perfect revelation, clear understanding, and no one since the beginning have had this. Jesus stood there, Son of Man, and Brother Branham said there's only Son of Man ministry is only 2 days. Jesus was the first day. So if we are in the day of the Son of Man, which Luke 17, 30 said we were going to be, then this day should be different than any other day. This people should be different than any other people. We shouldn't be sitting around here defeated. Not at all. Jesus, I don't ever read where Jesus was ever defeated. Even when they were taking him to Calvary, he wasn't defeated. He knew he had a job to do. He knew that they had to do what they had to do. He laid it. He said, you don't take it, I'll lay it down. And same with us. We are laying our lives down every day because we're the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of God's word is in us. Amen. The fullness, not just part. Now, down through the ages, the reason they had to have the blood sprinkled 7 times was because they weren't the fullness. You only need the blood when the fullness isn't on the scene. Because the fullness is he himself. You say, oh, you don't believe that you are under the blood. Oh, we're under the blood because we're part of this body. Amen. He sprinkled the blood for my ignorance. He sprinkled the blood for your ignorance. And you need the blood and I need the blood. And like Jay said, the blood was for the price. The word is for the life of God. That's what we've got. That blood was sprinkled for our ignorance because you were ignorant before you came to the knowledge of the truth.
That's right.
And even when you came to the knowledge of the truth, you were still ignorant.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why we die daily.
Amen.
And God has forgiven us for it. Like I said, until the revelation gets in you, all you got is your thinking.
That's it.
The best of us in here.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm revelated. You aren't revelated until God gives you the revelation. And until you get a revelation of God, you're going by your own thinking. That's why we come to the house of God. That's why we hear the word of God. That's why the word, when it comes forth, I die to my thinking and pick up his thinking. That's because I didn't have it right. Brother Branham said, the zeal of the hour is I'm wrong. And as we submit ourselves to the word, the fullness moves into us. And we sit here with all the answers. That's why we can have question and answers on Sunday night, and I don't have to pray and study it. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, no. Oh, I come and say, take your best shot. When people come to talk to me, I told you, I've had people bring me some stuff. As a pastor, we need to talk. And now I know they're having issues, and they come over to the house, and before they get their hand on that door, I say, Lord Jesus, give me the answer. And I'm walking in there just as dumb as they are. And I'm standing there just as dumb as they are. And I don't have the answer. Y'all don't understand that. I don't have the answer. But I have the author. And I say, Lord, when they get in here, you tell me what to tell them. And then I get in a conversation with them. You know how Brother Branham said he would talk to them for a few minutes. He ain't the only one that does that. Talk to him for a few minutes to pick up the spirit. And then he comes. You don't just come on Sundays. He doesn't just come on Wednesdays. He'll show up when you need him. When you don't have the answer, he'll give it to you because he's the fullness. He is the word and he is the fullness. And when they lay these things out before you, when you don't even know what the answer is yourself, you just start talking a little bit. Then he comes and that sweetness comes and he takes the conversation and he starts talking and discern, and then he deals with things and deals with spirits. And before they walk out of the door, they get the answer. And I walk up to the door and I say goodbye to them. And I close the door and I lean up against the door and I say, thank you, Lord. Because when they walked in, I didn't have the answer. But they've never walked out. No one has ever walked out without an answer. That's the fullness. That's why we have church and we get up here with our little notes where we study and we'll do the best we can with our little notes, but we just lay those notes here. But you know what we're waiting on? We're waiting on him. Because the same one that answers all those questions, the same one that preaches the services, the same one that walks these aisles, the same one that discerns 40, 50 people and give you exactly what you need. When you're sitting at home trying to figure out something, you know, oh, it's church time. And you come to church and then that sweetness comes and he comes in here and he talks directly to you and he answers your question and he solves your problem and he heals your body and he's doing all these things to you. And all that is the fullness of the word of God veiled in human skin. That's what's on the scene. It's not just church normal. It is God himself. Remember, Jay said that he is the word. And the word is veiled in human skin. So God is walking around here in human skin, and he has answers to everything you have need of. That's what the fullness has done. What's the difference between us and Luther? Luther didn't have the fullness. He didn't know who he was, let alone who the body is. But we're standing here today. I can name every part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. The fullness is on the scene. Amen. We're not doubting. We're not wondering if God is or can God do it. We know he can because the fullness, remember, he is the word. It's the word that Jeremiah preached on Sunday that was eternal. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And we want to get eternal life. But in order to get eternal life, you got to get his word. You got to get his word, and you have to, thy word have I hid in my heart. You've got to take his word in because that is the only eternal thing there is. And there's no other way in. You say, I want to go, but I don't believe it. Then you can't go. I feel good, but I don't know if I believe you're preaching.
then you can't go. I spoke in tongue. I've done all these things. I've cleaned my life up. You've done all these. I've done all this stuff. But if you don't receive the word, you can't receive God. Because he is the word. We're trying to get everything else. But in all of your getting, get an understanding. Get a revelation. Get a revelation of what? Of the word. You cannot have the fullness without the revelation of the word in you. That's how simple that is. And that we make it so hard. You got to do this. You got to stop that. You got to start this. You got to be this. You got to be that. Just eat the word. You are what you eat. If you eat the word, you'll stop everything. Because the word will take over your life. You don't, like Jay said, you don't have to put one apple. I like that. You don't have to put one apple on an apple seed. You don't have to add nothing. You know, I put some green bean plant. My green bean didn't work out in my little thing. So I went and got me some green bean seeds. Now I put those green bean bush seeds in the ground. Maybe a week ago, I went out there and looked this morning. The little heads are popping up. A row of soldiers of little green beans. I don't have to go out there and paste one green bean on that bush. All you got to do is get it in the environment. Get it under the right environment. And the very life that's in it, and you got to have the life. You got to have the life in you. If you don't have the life in you, get up. You can water a dead seed all you want. It won't do a thing. But you get a seed of God in the environment. What's the environment? In the house of God. In a place where the word's coming forth. You get a seed of God in this hour under the fullness of the word. And you watch that seed. That head will pop up and that thing will produce. I can't stop it now. If I even try to say, let me go out there and dig those seeds up and put them back in the little bag it came in, they won't even fit in that bag. It's got a life of its own now. It's doing what was in it to do. And every age had a portion of the word allotted for that age. But thanks be to God that we have the portion of the fullness allotted for this age. That we don't have to sit here and be ignorant and not understand. But we've got the fullness of God veiled in human skin again. How do you get that? By eating the word. God's got ordained preachers to feed you. And when that word comes forth out of their mouth, it's not them. It's that sweetness of the Holy Ghost coming amongst you. And then when you hear the word, it's not just hearing the word, because anybody can hear the word, but when you hear the word, it sticks. You go home and he starts talking to you about it. Remember what Jay said. Remember the service, the fullness. And he starts revealing himself to you. That's how it works. Thanks be to God that we're in the hour of the fullness. We're in a point now that the word has literally been made flesh again. Amen. No longer is the church the mouthpiece of God. But he's raised up a bride. She is the mouthpiece. That's why in Revelation it says the Spirit and the bride say come. It's because she's the fullness. And she knows it. She knows what to do with the word. Come on, musicians. Don't get me started, Jay. No, we don't. Someone's got to work in the morning. I see the word made flesh again. What page? That, Jay, that goes with your service. If you can find it, fine. If not, I know it. 99. Don't forget the announcements. Good to see Brother Kobe with us tonight. I know it's summertime and he doesn't get to get out much in summer.
So I understand when he's not around, I know what he's doing. He's on somebody's roof. But we are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Brother Branham said, all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he's poured into his church. You can't even see God today without looking at us. When Jesus was here, you literally had to go where he was to find God. That was the first fullness. So in order for you to find God in this hour, you've got to go to where the fullness is. It's not that hard. We just don't believe it. But there's some that believe it. Some of us know who we are. What a glorious revelation just to know and understand that Christ has come down and he's united with man. I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. It's God in man, his word forever to stay. Oh, what a glorious revelation just to know and understand that Christ has come down and he's united. I see the Word made flesh again in this our day. For it's God in man, and he forever to stay. Oh, what a glorious revelation. Come down and united with man. Oh, the next phase will be when we see our precious loved ones get up. They'll say, come on now, it's supper time. We'll change and go up to meet the Lord in the air and be eternally with him, and his glory we will share where there can never be no unbelief there. I see the Word.